Dame Dorothy, the winner for Bobby Flay. I don't typically like to make our guests wait all that long when we get them on the line, but I thought Bobby might enjoy hearing that from our 2015 broadcast of the Derby undercard, the Humana distaff and Dame Dorothy's win. We went to the call, and there was a glitch in the audio. We had no audio, but thank goodness Kurt Becker was sitting next to me. He picked up the binoculars, hadn't looked at a horse, and it was just remarkable. Bobby, I bet you've never heard that version of that race before.
No. I was actually wondering, how did I miss that one? That was the best yet.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That race about 300 times.
I'm sure you have. What a day that was, huh?
Yeah, amazing. Just amazing. It was Derby Day. The Dame Dorothy, named after my late mom. It was just a great way to, win a Grade One. That's for sure.
How special was Dame Dorothy? She could really run.
She's fastest horse I've ever owned for sure. I still have her. She's producing, really good race horses. I mean, her first foal, ran second in the Devona Dale this year. Her name is Spice Is Nice. Actually, the Laws who bought her actually named her with me in mind, they say, naming her Spice Is Nice, which was really nice of them to do. And she kind of goes in and out of being on the Kentucky Oaks Trail, depending on when it's going to be run. And so it's nice to see her progeny start to show themselves as well as she was on the tracks too.
You told me a few years ago when we sat down at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale that your approach to this game when you got involved as an owner was to buy fillies as opposed to colts for the most part. Is that still the approach that you're taking, Bobby?
Yeah, it's 100% my approach. I mean, I like the breeding, probably as much as the racing. And I always have an eye on, well pedigreed fillies. And so now I have a broodmare band of about, 8 or 9, really great families. And so, being able to produce fabulous foals from these bloodlines is, to me, it's all the fun. And you start actually creating, your own families in thoroughbreds. And when I think about, you think about like legacy and you think about like history and stuff like that. It's like when I see Dame Dorothy, win a Grade One, and then she has progeny that can now seems like they can run too. And I have a daughter who's in her early 20s. And so like, I just think about, Sophie breeding out of these, the daughters and the granddaughters of these horses that, we bought, years and years ago. So that to me is the fun of this whole thing. I love the pageantry of horse racing. Unfortunately, nobody can actually go to the races right now, but I was actually watching Ascot before you called me, and we took a horse to Ascot in 2011 after we won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies race as a 2-year-old, took her to the coronation. She didn't run that well, but it was an amazing time. My whole family went. You get dressed up, you make a week out of it, you're in Ascot, you hang out in London. I mean, these horses can take you on amazing adventures that just enhance your life, those are the kind of memories that you'll have forever.
Yeah, for people that haven't heard, by the way, Sharing was running in the Coronation Stakes just a short time ago. She ran a great race, came up a little short. She's finished second in that race. But, boy, you talk about special fillies. There's another one, Bobby.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You mean Sharing?
Sharing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She just ran really, really well. I just think that it was, actually, Graham's daughter, Jane Motion, is good friends with my daughter. They're sort of running mates at the races. I sent her a text. I was like, Daddy's on TV. And then she sent me a video of her taping her dad being on TV at Ascot. So it's like everybody's in tune. But I think that Sharon ran a fantastic race. Actually, I think that the horse that won had the better trip on the inside. It seems like the inside, the inside at Ascot seems to be carrying them a little bit further.
Yeah, talking with Bobby Flay here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby, you mentioned earlier that you can't go watch your horses race now, for the most part. At most racetracks, owners are still not allowed. They won't be allowed in for the Belmont Stakes today because of the COVID-19 situation. As an owner, as somebody who is so passionate about the game, how frustrating is that for you?
Well, I mean, I think I would speak for every owner. And you know, the reason why we get into this is because we want to go, hopefully, go to the big races on the big days and see our horses compete. And so that's obviously disappointing. And then, you know, when you think about, like, my favorite place in the world, Saratoga, my favorite time at Saratoga isn't during the races. It's, you know, in the mornings. And, you know, again, get to see your horses, you know, breeze or gallop or whatever it is, just to kind of be in that environment. You know, I would, you know, every owner, that's really what we're looking for. And unfortunately, we can't have that. But we are lucky in the sense that we're one of the few sports that's actually competing. And so at least we have, you know, it's like I got excited about waking up this morning and knowing that I could watch Ascot and Belmont. Like, I'm not leaving my house, that's for sure.
Yeah. I said that earlier, that, you know, we're very fortunate. We have to count our blessings as an industry that for many tracks we've been able to keep this ball rolling through the pandemic, where many other sports have had to shut down entirely. And I think that's – and if you said we were going to run the Belmont Stakes in June 7 or 8 weeks ago, people would have looked at you like you were crazy. But here we are,
no, I know.
Belmont Stakes and several greatest stakes races.
Yeah, it's a little odd. A friend of mine asked me this morning, who doesn't really know anything about horse racing. They asked if this was going to always be the order of the Triple Crown. And I thought, well, I don't get to make those decisions, but I'm going to guess no. You know, this is hundreds of years of tradition that's been sort of, you know, turned on its head.
Yeah. And you know, Bobby, you're a New Yorker. You have been, you know, right there in New York, where all of this has taken place. It was the epicenter of the pandemic and hit very, very hard. And now to be able to get back to some sense of normalcy, just a little bit, with running these races at Belmont Park and having a Belmont Stakes Day, just talk about what that means to the state, to the community, and to yourself personally.
Well, the Belmont Stakes is usually a big day for me, whether I had something running that day or not. I usually have about 30 people come to my house for breakfast because I just want them to eat well that day. And I love Naira, but sometimes the food doesn't really, you know, make it. And so basically what happens is I have a tradition where I cook like a brunch that starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's usually, you know, about 30 people that come over. They're all dressed up in their Belmont wear, so to speak, and we eat, we candy cap, we watch the, you know, we watch the morning, you know, whatever's on TV in terms of horse racing that morning, and then we put everybody in cars. Nobody's allowed to drive. We go to the track. We order a lot of wine and champagne all day long, and we drink. And then afterwards, we go to a steakhouse called Wolfgang's in New York City, and we have like a table of 30 right down the middle of the restaurant. And because we're so starving by the end of the day, and we eat this big steak dinner. It's a very New York experience. And a lot of the people, the people that come every year, I try to include, you know, like a dozen people who've never been to a horse race before. Which you would think that would be hard to do, but unfortunately it's not. And, you know, because I want them to experience, you know, the things that we understand as great race days. I want them to have those experiences so that they become fans of the sport in any way, shape, or form. They could just be a spectator. They can decide that they want to start betting on horses. It doesn't matter. It's like I always feel like it's my job, as I try to be as much of an ambassador of the sport as I can be, because it's given me and my family so many great moments, and I want people to experience that.
Where did the love of horse racing begin for Bobby Flay?
Where does it begin?
Yeah, how did you get hooked on the sport? Where did that happen?
Oh, this is a story that you've heard many times from many people. My grandfather took me to Saratoga when I was like 15. And that was it. I think I've been to Saratoga every year since I was 15 years old, which is a long time ago now. It's 40 years ago. I may have missed maybe three meets, but other than that, it's on my calendar, period. My office knows that, like, when Saratoga happens, especially during sales week, like, it's off the grid.
Did your grandfather own horses, or was he just a horse player?
No, he was a horse. He was a total horse player. He knew everybody at the racetrack. You know, this is when horse racing was the sport, you know, in New York. And, you know, tons and tons of people would go every day, like on a Wednesday. And my grandfather was loved to gamble on horses. And, you know, we always make this joke that his name was Willie Flay. And we used to make this joke that, like, he would step outside of his house and, like, look for one single cloud. And if he saw a cloud, he's like, it's not a beach day. We got to go to the races. You know, because he just loved it so much. And
yeah,
then, you know, there were all kinds of characters at the track then. And it was just a really interesting time. When I started going, Steve Coffin, I think, was an apprentice and winning, like, every race. And, you know, he was a teenager. So as a young person watching somebody, you know, basically a couple of years older than me, like, have all the success, like, I just bet on every Steve Coffin horse. That was sort of how I got started.
All right, let me ask you this question then. Considering this is Belmont Stakes Day, a favorite Belmont memory or two when you think about the Belmont Stakes, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Well, I had a piece of Creator in 2016, which was, you know, it was surreal because, like, I don't even like to talk about it because I don't even feel like I deserve to say that I won the Belmont Stakes, but that's basically what happened. Creator, owned by Winstar, so the Wednesday before the race, so, like, literally four or five days out, I bought a piece of Creator. The people at Winstar were nice enough to let me buy into him. And then, like, all of a sudden it's Saturday and we have a runner in the Belmont Stakes and then he wins. And like, I didn't even have a chance to absorb the fact that I actually owned a piece of him. And then he won the race. And then it was like, oh, you won the Belmont Stakes. I mean, to be like, I know, like, partnerships are really big now. And, you know, you'll see, you know, like, Justify had like 400, you know, owners, and, you know, that's sort of the trend these days. Like, any good horse, all of a sudden, you know, 10 different people buy into the horse. It's really not what I love to do. I like to kind of, you know, keep my partnerships nice and small. And I asked Elliot Walden if it was a chance I could buy into Creator. It was basically a big bet. I mean, that's really what it was. And he had won the Arkansas Derby and then had a really bad trip in the Kentucky Derby. And I think he ran like 13th or 15th or something. So he was kind of out of everybody's, off everybody's page. But I knew that he had a lot of talent, and he was by Tappet and on and on and on. So, you know, when he won by a nose, first of all, like, best ride I've ever seen in a big race by Irad Ortiz. I mean, he literally won by an inch. And if you watch the race really carefully, you see him saving ground at every single possible moment to get up. If he misses it by an inch anywhere else, he doesn't win the race. I mean, it's just spectacular. But anyway, it was just one of those moments where, like, all of a sudden you're standing in the winner's circle with the Belmont Stakes trophy as a native New Yorker. Like, I mean, what other race do you want to win other than that? Maybe the Travers, but, I mean, it's the Belmont. So, amazing moment.
What a memory. What a moment.
It was great. And, you know, my daughter was there, and she cried, and that's good.
that's what this sport's all about. And Bobby Flay, you are what this sport is all about. You're a phenomenal ambassador, and I'd love to spend even more time with you up the road and hear some more stories and talk about some of the love of the game that you possess. But I'm coming up on the final commercial break of the program. Listen, really appreciate the visit here this morning. Enjoy the Belmont. Sorry you can't prepare that wonderful breakfast you prepare for everybody, but we'll get back to that at some point.
All right, man. Thanks so much for having me, and good luck today.